Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on national health care insurance when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance, who back in 1880 made this observation. Now, Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet which was given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press, and Swinton totally outraged all of his colleagues by replying that there is no such thing at this date of the world's history in America as an independent press. Now you know it and I know it, he said. There's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now you know it and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Well, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and this New World Order, the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers, the Bushes, Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts and so on. That's why I contend it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and less prepared to live through and survive this New World Order, this Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000 and Bible prophecy in this New World Order, why don't you call and order our free 4-hour compact disc package. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, and you can download it directly from our website. Just click on to the appropriate page. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been talking about the National Healthcare Program here in the United States, and so I got a report here from a fella, a blogger, that was actually downloaded on Spiker. So if you want to get a copy of this, there's two sources for it. The first source is Spiker, S-P-I-K-E-R, at spiker.biz. And then the other is a fellow by the name of Peter Fleckenstein, or Steen, however you want to pronounce that, Fleckenstein, who's a blogger and former Marine from Phoenix, Arizona. Boy, has this guy stirred up a hornet's nest. I mean, I haven't seen anything like this since Proposition 13. Just during the time when I started doing this series, and last night, it has stirred up so much hate and discontent in the Obama administration that the president himself now is out denying that this guy, Peter, has anything and that he's a liar and so on. So I thought, well, my goodness, maybe we've struck something, struck oil here. We've really struck a deep chord. The other night, the president was in a town hall meeting, and a lady stood up, and she said, Mr. President, in her kind of plaintive voice, it kind of sounded like my Aunt Bessie, kind of in her Seventh-day Adventist plaintive voice, said, Mr. President, it's being reported in the news that your health care bill calls for euthanasia and that we senior citizens are going to be exploited. Please tell us that it isn't true. And the president looked her right in the eyeball and he said, that is not true. And then he went on to explain from his perspective the truth of the Obama health care bill. Now, I've been reporting to you that this report is 118 problems with the Obama health care bill. First of all, it's 1,018 pages long. Well, I didn't look at the last page, but it appears to be 1,018 pages. And every page in that bill has a purpose. The people who write these legislative bills want to get something passed. They want what it is that they're asking for in this law. They want that to become law so that for whatever their agenda, whatever their purpose, it gives them what they want. So the Patriot Act, 1,300 pages. Every page in the Patriot Act is important for somebody. The Homeland Security Bill, every page in there is important to somebody. And this new bill here, you know, the Obama health care bill, there's every page in there is important to somebody. And that's why I said to you, you know, all legislation is good for somebody. It may not be good for you, but it's good for somebody. So I reported to you that on page 4, 25, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 430 is the provisions for the euthanasia. Actually, it isn't the whole story, but it's where it's located here in these two reports. Now, write this guy's name down so that you can get this from the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses. You want Spiker at spiker.biz, and then look up this guy, Peter Fleckenstein, who's a blogger. If you look him up on Google, I'm sure that you'll probably find him there, who is turning out the report. Now, I don't know how good this Peter Fleckenstein is at code pleading law. All I see here is that he's a Marine from Phoenix, Arizona. He's going through the Obamacare bill page by page and highlighting the provisions that he finds there. And it may well be that the guy's an amateur and he doesn't have all the facts. But I thought I would report in this program how these laws are passed for the purposes of deception. Law, like this national health care bill, is a massive deception. Now, if in the bill we want to put in a provision for euthanasia, that is, let's suppose that you and I are proposing this bill. Well, you and I are working together, and we want to put euthanasia into the bill. So should we just write in there that this bill provides for the killing of people over the age of 65 at the decision and direction of the physician or the bureaucrat in charge of the health care system in your area? Hell, we would never get that passed. You never come out and tell somebody what you want to do. Do you think Adolf Hitler said, no, look, Auschwitz is a death camp, and we're sending you to Auschwitz because we want to kill you? Hell, who would go? No, deception is a part of war. Deception is a part and parcel of the overall game. So when you write a law, you write the law so that the people believe that the law is written for them. It's for their benefit. And then you have to hide through the language, you have to hide the true intentions of the bill. Okay. Now remember when President Bush wanted to go to war against Iraq? The president never came out and said, look, the economy is in the doldrums, and we need a stimulus, and there's nothing better than war to stimulate the economy. So let's go pick a country, you know, like Iraq. It's run by a damn dictator, so let's go over to Iraq and let's foment a war over here so that we can stimulate our economy. Hell, that won't sell. You can't sell that. So what we do is we stage a 9/11, and then we say, well, we have to go over here and protect vital American interests, and so let's go get these terrorists. There never were any terrorists that came out of Iraq. Not one. Nobody's ever tied Iraq to the terrorists. That was a part of the hype that President Bush used to sell the war on Iraq. Evidently, they didn't think that Afghanistan was a big enough target. And so they said, well, we got to find somebody. Well, we could have picked North Korea or Cuba, or we could have picked Iran. I mean, you know, you just takes your choices here. So as history shows, we chose Iraq. Now, the president said, listen, there's no problem here. Critics said, my God, this thing will cost, you know, a lot of money. The president said, oh, no, it won't cost over $50 billion. The thing has already cost $3 trillion. $3 trillion. They haven't even written it down. So now, did the president know it was going to cost more than $50 billion? Did the president actually know that this was a no-win war and that this was a put-up job? Well, of course he did. Of course he did. Now, 9/11 was an inside job, and the reason that we know that 9/11 was an inside job is because of Building 7, that 42-story building that was blown up directly, and it just fell right straight down. And remember, the owner of it, Silverstein, said that they decided they had to pull it because it was on fire. Listen, it takes a minimum of six weeks, to wire a 42-story building for demolition. Furthermore, to wire a building for demolition, you've got to get a building permit. Now, the official story was that, well, because the Trade Towers had collapsed and this building is now on fire, we have to demolish this building for the health, safety, and welfare of the public. So they went in between, oh, say, noon and 5 o'clock, wired the building, and then blew it up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And Silverstein said, you know, on the air, now he said we had to pull it. Well, wait a minute. That building had to have been wired far in advance of 9/11. So you know that's a lie. Governments lie all the time. They lied to us about the Lusitania in 1915. They lied to us about Pearl Harbor. They lied to us about the Gulf of Tonkin. Now, those are the lies that 50 years after the fact, they declassify the information, and then we get the truth. But by then, see, all the people who were lied to and deceived are all dead and buried, you know, like my granddad and Aunt Bessie. They're all gone. The only reason that I know about the Lusitania lies is because when I was a little kid, about, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, something like that, my granddad explained to me about these dirty German Huns, these wicked, evil Germans of World War I, who went out and deliberately sank a passenger ship and killed 230 Americans, and it was those dirty Germans that did it. Now, listen, that was a lie. My granddad believed it. He believed it. Hell, he died in 1951. He went to his grave believing that lie. The Lusitania was an arms merchant carrying ship. It is true, it was a passenger ship, but it was hauling arms from the neutral United States to Great Britain to aid Great Britain in the war against Germany. Well, the German intelligence service isn't stupid. and they knew what was going on. So they didn't want to sink this British passenger ship, and they didn't want to kill a bunch of Americans and tick the Americans off. And so they published in five leading newspapers in the United States that if they caught that Lusitania out on high seas, they're going to sink it. Warned people, don't take passage on it. It's an arms merchant ship. So nobody believed it. They caught it on the high seas. They sank it in 1915. The objective was to get America into the war. It failed. It failed. The American people didn't want to go to war. So President Roosevelt, conspiring with the British, trying to get America into the war, failed. But they classified the cargo on the ship until 1967. And guess what? Not only was it carrying arms from the Americans, which are supposed to be neutral in this war, the arms came from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and the arms were specially manufactured in the United States to fit British caliber guns. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what was declassified in 1967. Now, the official story back in 1915 is that the Germans were a bunch of dirty savages over here sinking unarmed passenger ships and killing neutral Americans, and they knew or should have known. Well, now, for public consumption, for people like my Aunt Bessie, the ruse worked like a shot. And that's where this lady is. I was watching her on TV the other night. She said, Mr. President, please, Mr. President, tell us it's not true. And the president told her just exactly what she wanted to hear, which follows human nature perfectly. Now listen to this prophecy here in the book of Isaiah. Here's the creator of the universe. Here's our God, our creator. Now he says, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come and forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the eternal, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. God, what a statement, especially for America. Here's God, our creator, and he says, you know, the time's going to come when the people of America will not endure sound doctrine, when they will say, preach to us deceits, lie to us. Now, we Americans are religious people. 65% of us go to church every Sunday. You know, compared to you Europeans over there, we're only 13% of you Europeans go to church every Sunday. And we know, everybody knows that sodomy is a crime, that it's condemned in the Bible, that the penalty is death. All right, now there's a big sodomite community here in America. I don't know how big it is. Some people say it's as much as 10%. If that's the case, there's 30 million of them. 30 million. And these 30 million are just loath to have somebody like me come on the air and say sodomy is a crime. Sodomy is punishable by death. Sodomy is sin. Sodomy is wickedness. You know, as if that's some great new revelation. Hell, all of you people know that. I'm not telling you anything new here. But it's politically incorrect, and we don't want to talk about it. So here's the prophecy. This is a rebellious people. The people of America are rebellious, and they're lying children. Lying. The people of America are lying children, children that will not hear the law of the eternal. They will not hear the law of God. So when Americans go to church, they do not hear the law of God. They hear platitudes. They hear a preacher that gets up there every Sunday and tells them what they want to hear, just like this lady. Please, Mr. President, tell us that it isn't true. And the president is a master salesman, and he understands full well. You tell the people what they want to hear. That's how simple that is. You're selling used cars. Guy comes in, and he's looking at a Corvette. Now, he drives in with a wife, five kids, and a station wagon. He goes over, starts kicking the tires on a Corvette. The salesman comes out. What's he going to do? Say, wait a minute, you dummy. We're not going to sell you a Corvette. That's something you don't need, can't use, and shouldn't have. We're going to sell you another station wagon like the one you've got because you've got a wife and five kids. Hell no. The salesman's going to come over there and tell him God's a beauty, isn't it? You missed the brass ring, didn't you? Why don't you divorce that old hag over there, and why don't you get out here and find yourself a new chick, get some Grecian formula 44, so that you can dye just enough of your gray hair black so that you can go out and find some new chick and tool around in this Corvette. That's what the salesman's going to tell you. He's going to tell you whatever the hell is going to sell the car. He's going to tell you what you want to hear. And the American people want to hear about national health care insurance. And that's because we don't want to be responsible for our own health care costs. That's the bottom line. And so what we want to do is spread the risk. We want equitable law spreading so that somebody else has to pay for my cancer and my bypass surgery, which costs a lot of money. And I don't want to pay for that myself, so I want to spread the burden onto everybody. And the president wants to sell it because the president has an agenda. And the people that are in powers, in the governmental powers, they have an agenda. And they want to sell it to the American people. Now, as I speak, the health care plan is on fire and going down in flames. And it's just happened in the last 3 or 4 days. And the only guy I can figure out that is the cause of this is this blogger over here. It has just incensed people at town hall meetings, and they're just wild-eyed. They had a couple of short segments, on the Lair News Hour concerning some real problems that the administration has, especially over this euthanasia, the euthanasia part. Now, when you go to the site. You can pull it up yourself. The actual wording of the bill is not in this Stryker report, and it isn't in this blog. It's a report that kind of Reader's Digests it and gives you the short form of the story. And there's nothing in the actual text of the bill that would send up a red flag. So I'm going to show you how this deception works when you're writing the law. You don't write a law and tell the story that somebody might accidentally pick up and read. You have to write it in code. Now, law is written in code, and the Bible is written in code. And in order for you to understand this code, you have to be able to code plead it. Code pleading, that's a legal term. Lawyers and judges use it. Did you code plead that out? Well, yes, I did, Your Honor, and I briefed it up for you right here. All right, let me see your brief, and I'll give you an opinion in 21 days. Why? Well, because the judge now has to go check on all these sources of information, because when you and I do something, we write it out, and then we pass the message on, this is what we want. In law, you want to do the exact opposite. You'd never want anybody to know what the law is. Never, never, never do you want to write a law so that everybody knows what the hell the law is. Now, let me show you why. Let's take an easy one here. In the Bible, there is a prohibition in Leviticus 3, verse 17 that says you shall eat no manner of fat. You have never in all of your life heard a preacher get up in the pulpit and tell you to stop eating fat. You have never heard a preacher ever get up in the pulpit in a Christian church in your lifetime and tell you to obey God and keep his commandments, in particular the Ten Commandments. That's because the worst enemy of the Bible is the clergy. The Christian church is the worst enemy of the Bible. Now, the Christian church has a mission. It's to pervert the scripture. It's to pervert the law of God, which is why God said the people love it. Preach to us deceits. Do not tell us what God has written to us in the Bible. We want you to get up there, and we want you to preach to us what we want to hear, smooth things. They say to the seer, see not. They say to the prophets, prophesy not. And unto the right things, speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceit. We want you to preach unto us what we want to hear. Mr. President, tell us it isn't true. By God, the president got right up there and told her it isn't true. Which right away sent me a signal and said, oh my God, the president knows full well. Remember I said to you a couple programs back, I said, now, either the president is totally ignorant or the president is a liar. Now, the president has now eliminated his ignorance. The president's not ignorant. He's a liar. He knows full well what's in this bill. And now he needs to cover that up because it's coming out. It's coming out like the Gulf of Tonkin. It's coming out like the 9/11 inside attack. It's a black operation, like Pearl Harbor. So here's the way the game is played. I'm going to read to you a couple of paragraphs here. Here's one paragraph. It says, page 425. Reprint them here so that you can see the actual language of the bill. Or he says, I reprint them here so you can see the actual language of the bill. Now, here's what it says. FF, Advanced Care Planning Consultation, as defined in subsection HHH1 and B by adding at the end of the following new subsection. Advanced Care Planning Consultation, HHH1, subject to paragraphs 3 and 4. The terms advanced care planning consultation means a consultation between the individual and a practitioner described in paragraph 2 regarding advanced care planning. If subject to paragraph 3, the individual involved has not had such a consultation within the last 5 years, such consultation shall include the following. Okay, now let's understand something here. Notice here that this is subject to laws, rules, regulations that are written in other places in the law. So you don't get the whole story here on page 1 of 7 of BSNL JTO 2009 results. You don't get the whole story there. And there's a good reason for that. You see, what we do here is we write part of the law here, and then right in front of you we tell you that you have to go to HHH1, subject to paragraphs 3 and 4, based upon the consideration between the individual and the practitioner described in paragraph 2. Now, where in hell is this paragraph 2? Where is this HHH1? And what about the subject of paragraph 3? Where's that all located? Well, it's located in some other book in some other location. Now, when you get over to that book and you look at HHH1, subject to paragraph 3 and 4, then it'll have a reference just like this, and it'll refer you to something else, to something else. Now, by the time you've buried this about three books later, which is all in a day's work for judges, legal scholars, and lawyers, who are the people who write these laws, and they write them in code so that you lay people out there can never find them. Now, first of all, this lady has not read this 1,018-page health care bill, and she's never going to, and neither are you, and neither am I. I'm not going to go out and read this 1,000-page healthcare bill. I'm of the opinion that I want to stay the hell out of it. I've seen enough of it. I've seen enough of these laws passed. So That's my personal opinion, but I'm not here to convince you that you ought to be against it. See, I'm a reporter, and I really don't care whether it goes in or goes out. I'm not going to participate in it, and I'm not going to pay for it, well, at least not directly. I'll pay for it through hidden taxes like everybody else, but when the final bill comes down, and I predict that this thing's going to be passed, at least I did the other day, this may be a sleeper. I mean, this thing may go down in flames like the Clinton bill did back in 93 because of some guy like this blogger here who actually dug the thing out and then reported on it. This euthanasia portion of the bill is real dynamite. It's got worse things than euthanasia. If that's all it had in it, we're just going to kill all the old people or some of the old people like the Nazis did in World War II, I wouldn't be so concerned about it personally. It's got other things in here that worry me more than the euthanasia. But you see, euthanasia is kind of like a trigger. It's like right to life, the abortion issue. And it just splits people right down the middle. And the president can't have that. See, he's got to have, you know, the majority of people on board for this, like Roosevelt did with Social Security. Now, Social Security was a massive deception, and it's called the third rail of politics, and the people of America love it, and they believe in it. It's because they don't understand it. Hell, if they understood it, they'd do like I did. They'd opt out of it. I had a guy in class the other day, and I said, "Do you have a credit card?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Did you read the contract before you signed for the credit card?" And he said, "No." And I said, "You ought to do that sometime. They send you a contract, and you sign it, and it's got all the terms and conditions of the contract. Well, not all, but most of them. It's an adhesion contract, and there are paragraphs in the contract that refer you to the Banking Act, Title 12, or the Money Act, Title 31 of the U.S. Code, knowing full well that nobody's going to go get the U.S. Code and dig out Chapter 12 and 31 to find out how this credit card binds you to those two chapters with the bank. Nobody's going to do that. Only a legal scholar, a researcher, or a lawyer, or a judge would do that. And that's the way they deceive you. You people never see the law. And in fact, let me tell you one more part of the story. Most of you people listening to me right now could not find the law. You don't know how. You don't know how to do legal research. Now, I'm going to presume, maybe I'm out to lunch here, I'm going to presume that this blogger, this guy Peter Fleckenstein over here, is actually capable of doing the legal research to ferret this out. He may not be. He may be a lying deceiver. That's what you call a double agent, and sometimes there's even a triple agent in intelligence circles to deceive. Remember, it is easy to deceive the masses of ignorant people. Deceiving them is no big deal. That just goes on day in, day out. But now, if you're going to deceive the intelligence community, if you're going to deceive the CIA or the KGB, I mean, you really have to be pretty sophisticated. And you've got to remember that these people have to deceive the policymakers on the other side. And so deception is an art form. Deception is the ultimate weapon in war. Propaganda is important, but deception is the winning edge in war. And you're involved in a war here, and so as a result of that, somebody, this guy Peter Fleckenstein, said, "Hey, listen, I'm going to alert you people to one provision in here, which is really touched a raw nerve, which is called the euthanasia portion." And it's now gotten people over here in these town halls yelling and screaming and telling their representatives, "Hell no, we won't go." Boy, what a shock for the politicians coming back home to sell the Obama health care plan, which was a slam dunk, and all of a sudden the town hall meeting is disrupted by irate citizens jumping up and down saying, "What in the hell is this?" See, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not state schools at all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website and you can download that free general law CD package right off of our website. It's streaming, and you can also download it. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors and publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking now about the president's health care bill, which has stirred up a real hornet's nest over here. So let me give you another piece of evidence here to show you about this deception. Now let's take a look at meat and meat packing. A little earlier I said in the Bible, it says, Leviticus 3, verse 17, it says, you shall eat no manner of fat. All right, so here's a report for you. Here in America, we have a law. Every state in the union has a fat law. Isn't that amazing? Every state. Now, who wants a fat law? When was the last time? Let's think about fat for a moment. When was the last time you went into the butcher shop and you said, give me 5 pounds of suet? When was the last time your wife cooked up fat patties and served them to you on the barbecue? How much fat do you people like to eat anyway? Well, if you're like me, I cut the fat off. I don't want to eat fat. I don't like fat. It's gross. I eat steak, but I cut the fat off the steak. Now, most people don't eat fat. You don't go to the fat store to buy fat. You go to the meat store to buy meat. Now, it just so happens here in America that we have fat cattle, Charolais and Angus and Brangus and Whiteface. You know, those are fat cattle. And they have 25% fat on their carcass. So when Swift and Armour and meat packers buy these cows, they buy them live weight. So here's a cow standing there, and they buy this cow in the auction barn. The cow weighs 1,000 pounds, and the cow's 25% fat. So when they pay $1 a pound, they pay $1,000 for this live cow. Now half that cow is waste. I mean, it's not meat, it's guts, it's head, it's hide, it's hair, you know, it's all the stuff that hooves. You know, we're not going to the hoof store to buy hooves or the bone store to buy bones. We're going to the meat market to buy meat. All right, so the meat packer then has a lot of stuff here that's waste. And so he wants to sell as much of that as he can. So there's about 75 pounds of that's blood. When they cut that animal's throat, 75 pounds of blood, that's $75 worth of blood. All right, so what are they going to do with that? Well, they gather it up and they sell it as blood meal. See how simple that is? All right, so they're going to take as much of the animal and the various parts of the animal, and they're going to use the byproducts. They take the hide, and they bundle that thing up, and they ship that off to some other country like Argentina or Korea or Taiwan, make shoes out of it. Or they make leather upholstery furniture, or they make leather upholstery in your car, or whatever. And so there, all these byproducts, they have a place they got to do something with. All right, now 25% of this animal is fat, and so we can render this down, and we can make tallow, and we can make beef fat, and we can fry our potatoes in it, and make French fries. And so I have a lot of buckets here, empty buckets that were tallow that went to McDonald's or other places, and that's what they fry your French fries in. That's why they taste so good, because they're fried in fat, and then salted real good. See? And that's why you have the highest incidence of cardiovascular disease in the world right here in the United States of America, because we love fat. God, we like it. Well, we don't go to the grocery store and buy fat and make fat burger patties, but we eat it in other ways as ingredients in our food. And French fries is one of the number one ways that we eat this fat. All right, there's one, but there's a bunch more fat. Let me ask you this. Did you ever go into your state legislature and testify before the Agriculture Committee about how you wanted more fat or how you wanted that fat put into your food supply? Now, if you're like me, you have never testified concerning the fat law in your state legislature. Aha. Well, then how did you get this fat law enacted into law in your state of Colorado or Florida or New York? Ah, let me tell you how this works. The meatpacking industry, they go in there. But, you know, they don't send a butcher down there and say, hey, listen, we need to put more fat in the hamburger. They go out and they hire a lobbying firm in Washington, D.C. or in your state capital in Jefferson City. These are law firms staffed by lawyers who never practice law in the courtroom. They're not a one of them, a Perry Mason. They're all lobbyists. They're all very knowledgeable about law. They know how to code plead the law. They're all trained professionals, and their job is to get laws passed. And so the meatpacking industry writes up a proposed piece of legislation. Now, the people who want a fat law are not the people who are going to eat the hamburgers. The people who want the fat law are the executives of Swift and Armour Star, the people who want to sell it, the people that need to get a price for it, the people that need to do something with it. So they write up a law that sounds something like this. This isn't the exact text of the law, but here's what it would sound like. If any meat packer, jobber, wholesaler, or butcher shall put more than 30% fat in their hamburger and offer it for sale to the public, he shall be guilty of a Class B misdemeanor and fined not more than $300 and sentenced to not more than 6 months in the county jail for each offense. Now, that kind of a law is written for the meatpacking industry to sell fat. It's not designed to sell hamburger. That's because you people already want to buy the hamburger. McDonald's has already sold you on the idea of buying a Big Mac. So you already are a customer for the hamburger. But the meatpacking industry, who's making this hamburger over here, they've got 25% of the carcass weight over here is hamburger. I mean, it's fat, and they need to put it someplace, and they want to put it in a hamburger. Now, in this country, hamburger comes in three forms. We have hamburger, which is 70% lean meat and 30% fat. Then we have the medium, which is 80% meat and 20% fat. Then we have the lean hamburger, which is 91% lean and 9% fat. Then we have the final, which is called ground round. That's what my grandmother used to buy. She'd go to the meat store and she'd say she wanted ground round. And so she'd pick out a piece of meat and the butcher would grind it right in front of her eyeballs. And there's no fat in it at all. It's all lean. Now, looking at the Bible, God, your creator, said you shall eat no manner of fat. He's the only guy in the universe concerned about your health. You're not concerned about your health. Your politicians aren't concerned about your health. And the meatpacking industry isn't concerned about your health. So the only guy that ever told you the truth about fat was your creator. And he told you, you shall eat no manner of fat, period, or blood. He said, don't do that. Now, you're not going to have God tell you how to live your life. Now, that isn't going to happen. So the meatpacking industry hires the lobbying firm. The lobbying firm proposes the law, goes in, finds a lawmaker to pass the law. So the meatpacker, the politician says, well, what's in it for me? And so the lobbyist goes back to the meatpacking industry and says, well, we've got a politician over here, a representative or senator, who will introduce this in and push this law, but he needs campaign contributions. We need to bribe him. Now, there's a guy that's concerned about bribery, and that's your creator again, and he says you shall not take a gift because the gift perverts the eyes of the wise. The only guy that's concerned about bribery is God. It's certainly not the meatpacking industry, the politicians, or the lobbying firms. But they all know that if they come out and say, look, we have to pay a bribe to this politician, that isn't going to go over well. So what we have to sanitize it. So we call it a campaign contribution. And so the meatpacking industry, through their organization, you know, the United Meatpackers of America, or whatever they call themselves, they take contributions from all of their members, just like labor unions do, and then they support the candidate of their choice. Then they send out campaign contributions. All of you working people that belong to unions do that. A part of your union dues goes into the political fund, so that it'll support your candidate who supports labor. See how simple this is? No big mystery here. All right, and so now the meatpacking industry, who wants to put 30% fat into the hamburger, they go into the legislature and they propose that the legislature enact this law, and they put in campaign contributions to bribe the politicians to vote for it. See how that works? And different industries have different lobbying firms that represent their interests. And so the American Medical Association, they've got their lobbyists in Washington pushing their agenda. And then the pharmaceutical industry, they have lobbyists in Washington and in your state capital pushing their agenda. And this goes on and on and on. All these industries, the insurance industry, the healthcare insurance industry, hell, all these people are in there passing these laws. Now, in order to get these laws passed, some of these laws over here are just downright criminal. They're preposterous. And I showed you that. Let me show you an example of this over here. And this healthcare bill, coming right out of the chute, on page 2, there's a provision for aliens up here. And it says any non-resident alien is exempt from individual taxes. What that means is none of the American citizens will pay for them. Nobody in his right mind is going to let you voters out there know that we have a little writer in here, a little provision in here for aliens. Now, I wouldn't vote for that on that ground alone, so what we need to do is to keep that secret. We're not going to tell you about that. So the president isn't out here promoting his health care plan by telling you that aliens participate in this program at the expense of Americans. So silence is golden, so we don't tell you about that. We want it in there. There's some group that wants it in there. There is somebody that wants that provision in the law. They didn't propose it for no good reason. I don't want it. You don't want it. Nobody in his right mind, no American in his right mind, would want to pay for the medical services of Venezuelans and Bolivians coming into the United States illegally. But that's what the bill provides for. Now, we need to deceive you. And so this lady says, Mr. President, tell us it isn't true. By God, the president's going to tell you what you want to hear. Don't you believe it? It ain't so. Because he knows that you couldn't find this portion of the law at high noon with both hands and a roadmap. But there are people out there who can do that, and we have to deceive them. See, we got political opponents over here. I mean, we got the healthcare industry. We have other powerful lobbying groups. And so they're working against this thing. So what you have here is both sides are lying to you. So you got the Obama people, they're lying to you. And then you've got the healthcare industry, and they're lying to you, trying to get your support. So you can't believe either side. But the reason I'm bringing up meatpacking over here is because none of us people out here buying hamburger want to buy fat. We're not the people who went into the legislature and said, my God, we have to do something with the fat on these animals, so let's put 30% of it in the hamburger so that we can give more Americans cardiovascular disease, so that we can boost the revenue of the cardiovascular surgeons of America by having more bypass surgery. Hell, nobody wants to buy that. So we have to hide that, and we hide it in the law. For instance, here's another example. Back in 2002, Dick Armey put a rider on a bill. In other words, this bill has nothing to do with the pharmaceutical industry or vaccinations, but he put a rider on a bill. And it exempts the pharmaceutical industry from any criminal or civil liability for the outcome of a vaccination. So on the one hand, the legislature passes a law of general applicability and say all children must be vaccinated. Then hidden in the paperwork is an exemption for, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses and Christian Scientists and religious objectors that you couldn't find at high noon with both hands, so that you believe your kid has to be vaccinated. You may not want your kid vaccinated, but you believe you have to because that's what the law requires, not knowing that there's actually a waiver and that there's a way around this. And so somebody points out, like the school nurse, it's the law. And so you succumb to it. Please tell us it isn't true. And so they're going to tell you whatever it is that they want to tell you in order to sell the product. And that's the deception that goes on here with these laws. That's the bottom line. The law is written in a way that is very palatable. They are careful at how they pick words and how they construct the sentences to make it appear that this is being written for you. And then the salesman come out and said, this is written for you. We're just real concerned about your health, and we just want to help you. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. So, now, that's the presentation. Then, when they actually write this thing, to make sure that you can't find it, they put FF, Advanced Care Planning Consultation, as defined in subsection HHH-1, and B, by adding at the end of the following new subsection, Advanced Care Planning Consultation, HHH-1, subject to paragraphs 3 and 4, the term Advanced Care Planning Consultation means a consultation between the individual and the practitioner described in paragraph 2. See, that, what does that mean? Hell, you don't know, and neither do I. Hell, if a judge looked at that, he wouldn't know what the hell it meant. So what the judge has to do, he has to sit down at his computer and he has to go look up FF, Advanced Care Planning Consultation. Then he has to look at the definition in subsection HHH-1. Then he has to go to paragraph B. Then he has to go to subparagraphs 3 and 4. And that's just to construe that one paragraph, of which there are many paragraphs. So this law is going to be obfuscated. It's going to be contained in several books. Can it be ferreted out? Certainly. It's in code. It's encoded, just like the German Enigma machine was a code machine. Now, the law is written in code. The Bible is written in code. And the lay people can't decode it, and they're not supposed to. But you got a guy here, a blogger, who's decoding it. He went out. At least he claims he's decoding it. Now, he may be deceiving all of us. This guy, Peter Fleckenstein, he may be a lying deceiver who's been hired by the American healthcare industry. And that could well be. You know, when we're dealing with spy and counter-spy, the KGB is up against the CIA and MI6, and so British intelligence is working for British intelligence, and they're trying to deceive the Russians and the Americans. Hell, look, the Israelis, who are our allies, for crying out loud, are busy spying on us over here in the United States and taking our secrets back to Israel. Happens all the time. So you not only have the Russians and the Chinese spying on you, or the Iranians and the Iraqis spying on you, hell, you got your friends spying on you. And then you don't know who your friends are, you know, when times get really tough. All right, now, I'm not here to, remember I've talked about, I'm not here to get you to vote for or against the president's health care bill. What I'm here to do is to decipher the thing so that you can make your own decision. I don't know what's good for you. Hell, I'm not opposed to people that want socialized medicine. You people in Canada, 20 million strong, hell, you people voted for socialized medicine. Evidently, you wanted it. It must be good for you. You people in England have socialized medicine. In Japan, you people, around the world, I think almost everybody in the world has national socialized medicine. Now, why we Americans have resisted it for so long, I don't know. And the President Clinton tried to ramrod it through back in 93, remember that? And the people of America said, hell no, we won't go. And it looks like the thing might go down in flames again. The Illuminati loses again. They don't lose very often. Once in a while, there's a sleeper comes along like Proposition 13 in California and just blows everybody right out of the water. People just go berserk. They go postal on them. And so they can't get that portion through. Now, they've totally failed here in the United States to get gun control legislation through. They succeeded in Australia. They succeeded in New Zealand and in Canada and in Great Britain. I mean, hell, they got all you people around the world disarmed. Got you right where they want them, except in America. They have been working on disarmament. They got 25,000 gun laws in this country, and the Supreme Court comes out the other day with a narrow 5-4 margin, and they said, no, the Second Amendment is an individual right, which anybody knew to start with. Hell, even the conspirators know that that's an individual right. So they've been selling this collective right of the militia for the last 50 or 75 years. Hell, that's their agenda to convince you that, well, you never had this right to start with. So therefore, it shouldn't be any big thing, you know, if government comes in here and seizes your guns. They're bad for you anyway because, you know, you could get hurt. All right, so now with that much out of the way, I got a couple of minutes here. Let me tell you one more piece to the story here. At Pearl Harbor, that was an inside job. It is true that the Japanese carried it out. But in 1937, so here's what they didn't tell you. 1937, the American government, along with the Dutch, embargoed oil from Indonesia to Japan. The Japs couldn't buy any oil from Indonesia. The Japanese don't have any oil. Just picture this. What if there was an embargo initiated by the Russians and the Saudi Arabians to stop selling oil to the United States? Do you know what the outcome to that would be? It would be war. The United States has to have Saudi oil. We wouldn't live for 3 months without it. And you know it, and I know it, and if the Saudis stopped selling us oil, we would be over there with a military expedition to seize their oil fields. That's the bottom line. Wake up and smell coffee. So the Japanese couldn't quite take the Americans on, so they invaded China instead. And then they bided their time until they thought they got to a point in time when they were powerful enough that they could take on the Americans. And the Americans set the trap in Pearl Harbor because President Roosevelt knew that the Japanese were going to attack at Pearl Harbor. How did he know that? Because we broke the Japanese code. How do we know that? Because it was declassified 50 years later. See, they classify that. So now here's President Roosevelt. He knows the Japanese are going to attack Pearl Harbor. And what does he do? He moves the aircraft carriers out into the open ocean and leaves the battleships all lined up. Archaic battleships. The Japs come in, sink the archaic battleships, were of no real military value, and saves the aircraft carriers. And then makes loud protestations about the sneak attack and how we were totally deceived and didn't know it, just like 9/11. Totally deceived and we didn't know it. The president knew full well. And the 3,000 people that died at Pearl Harbor were a necessary sacrifice to move America to war. In the same way that 9/11 was a necessary sacrifice to move America to war. That's the way the game's played, and it's done by deception. All right, we're out of time again, so I got to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Missipella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course, talking about this thing of national health care insurance. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.